Hey, uplifters. I want to take a minute to talk about something personal to me. In my 40s, I started noticing my hair was shedding more. So a couple of months ago, I started using Nutrafol. I'm already seeing so much less shedding. And my teenage daughter, who notices absolutely everything, keeps commenting on how thick my hair looks. As someone who's built my career around rigorous science, I super love that Nutrafol was the first brand to clinically study hair thinning on menopausal women, which is why I am so proud to have them as a sponsor. Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, supporting you throughout your life stages. You can see thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code UPLIFTERS.
Her name is Gita Valensky, and she is the founder of Nishi, which are these delicious chocolate spreads, protein powders, muffins for periods, premenopause, perimenopause, and menopause symptoms. So hot flashes, like cramps, all the unglamorous stuff of being a woman. Her products are so amazing. They work. She's got these customers who are just advanced because they really make an impact on their health.
Welcome to the Uplifters podcast, where every week I get to talk to a midlife woman who's doing big, brave things in the world. Today, I'm talking to Gita Valensky, founder of Nishi. And I hope that from this conversation, not only if you're a midlife woman, will you get some really great insight into how to care for your body and your hormonal shifts during this period by learning about the products she's created, but you'll also learn what it's like to be a midlife founder and to battle the mindset challenges of doing big, brave things in the middle of our lives as we learn so many new systems and tools and learn how to create in this world bravely and boldly and hopefully challenging some of our past assumptions about what was possible for us all. Gita, thank you so much for taking time to hang out with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So to kick things off, tell us a little about Nishi and how it came to be.
So Nishi was purely a mother on a mission. That's how everything started. We have three girls. And my oldest at the time, who's now in college, was struggling with really heavy, painful periods. And we're talking 8 days or more, face just full of hormonal acne, couldn't get out of bed because her cramps were so bad, periods were so heavy, iron levels were low, and she was struggling every month. And she was a basketball and tennis player, so it was hard enough to go to school. But imagine, you know, you're getting up at 6 a.m. for an 8 o'clock game, and I saw how hard it was for her, and it brought flashbacks to me as a 16-year-old. My periods were the exact same way, and I knew I had to help.
Wow. And what was your background at that point?
My background was high tech. You know, I used to do M&A, global sales ops for businesses around the world. And I always grew up with functional food as part of my life. You know, we would go visit my grandmother who lived in the village in India. And 9 times out of 10, something was wrong with us, she'd go to the kitchen first before she'd take us to the doctor or the pharmacy. And most of the time she hit it right. And it was something tasty and delicious and we felt better. And so I always grew up with that mindset as food has so much power and medicine and healing. And so that's really what I channeled trying to help her as well.
Wow.
My mom, she put me on birth control because that's what she was told to do.
Yeah.
And I had terrible side effects for years, but the doctor kept saying, take it, it'll make you feel better. I don't think it ever made me feel better. It just gave me headaches and stomach aches and digestive issues and, you know, all these things that I just didn't want for her.
I love this idea of taking a much more holistic approach to caring for our bodies. And I'm 50 now, and so very solidly in that perimenopause space. And actually, the timing of our conversation couldn't be more perfect because I haven't had a period. Is this TMI? I haven't had a period.
There is no TMI.
Thank you. In like a month and a half, and I started today, and I feel so bad.
Oh, no.
I'm like, haven't had cramps in a month and a half. And I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I wish I had your beautiful products today because I feel like they'd be perfect for this moment.
So what you're talking about is interesting because at the same time that I was on this mission to help her, my periods had become completely erratic. My entire life, every fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m., I would get my period. Like it was like clockwork. And suddenly I started getting my period every 14 days and I was bleeding for 10 days. I was miserable. I was tired because I was losing so much blood. My hair was falling out. Like it was horrible. And then at the same time, my hot flashes, my night sweat, like all these crazy perimenopause symptoms kicked in. And so what's interesting is I actually noticed a change first. I started doing a lot of research, talking to functional health doctors, OBs, reading a lot, putting together different things. And I noticed that my hot flashes had stopped. My night sweats, which kept me awake in a pool of sweat every single night, had stopped. And my periods had slowed down. And for the first time in my life, my period was easier than when it was on birth control. It was amazing. But, you know, I just kept thinking, it's me. I'm getting older. My hormones are changing, you know, whatever. And then Anjali, you know, true teenager fashion from the top of the steps is yelling down. She's like, Mom, I don't have cramps. Mom, my period's already done. Mom, I don't have leaks. You know, it's just like these things. And I saw her face clearing up really quickly. And it was just getting better and better. And so we did a lot of like on and off testing to figure out if it was really like this right recipe that was doing the changes. And then I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to go and do something the next phase of my career that's helping women. And to me, it was a nonprofit. And I was like, why do I have to do a nonprofit? I have this amazing product right here in front of me. So we decided to do a trial with, you know, just women in our network, kind of all ages, all ethnicities, because I needed to know that it worked for not just my DNA. And the feedback that I was getting was just amazing. Women were texting me, their PMS went away, their headache, massive headaches or migraines they'd get before their periods went away. They weren't finding hair on their pillow or their shower because their hair had slowed with the falling out, just so many things. And it was just, it was so amazing to get this feedback from so many different people. They're like, Keith, I never thought I could feel this great. What you've created here is amazing. So I was like, okay, I got to do something about this and help other women. And so that's when we officially decided to launch Nishi. And it's been 3.5 years now.
Wow. 3.5 years. And so that's both a long time and a short time. Give me the highs and lows. What has this journey been like?
Crazy journey. We started with frozen products. They were little mini gluten-free, fudgy, delicious cakes that would just, no matter what you did, couldn't stay cold, right? It was so hard. And I had no idea what was going on in shipping until one day, one of my friends and customers who had moved down to San Diego said something. And I was like, you know what, can you just take a picture of what you're getting? Because here's what I'm shipping you, right? And it was this beautiful little risen perfect cake. And she sent it to me and I didn't sleep for 3 days. I was like, oh my God, why does it look like that? They're completely beaten up. It looked like the postman would just like kick the box down the block. And you take all of this care and then this is what your customers are getting. So I reached out to everyone. They're like, we don't care. It tastes fantastic. We feel better. I don't care what it looks like. And I was like, but I care what it looks like. And so then we took a lot of time to try to figure that out. And throughout that process, a customer who was with us for probably a year and a half at that point said, I'm going through IVF. My doctor is so happy with the changes to my cycle ever since I've been on Nishi, but I need to reduce the sugar as I'm going through IVF. And I was like, you know what? I've always had this idea in the back of my mind of this lower sugar spread. And also we were doing a lot of in-person pop-ups at the time. And I would get feedback from women of, this is amazing. I love how it tastes, but I can't eat a cake every day. And I was like, it's not high calorie. It's high in fiber. It's protein. It's, you know, all these essential fats that women need. They're like, no, but I can't eat a cake, but I can eat this spread. And I was like, but there's a 30 calorie difference. And it was just this mental block that they couldn't get over. And so when I finalized this spread for this customer, she super happy. And then women just started latching on. because that guilt factor went away. And it was so interesting to see, because we always had, so we had cakes, we had muffins, we had protein powders. But I think most of us just tolerate a protein powder we already have. This concept of this dark cacao nut butter spread was just, is intriguing to people, right? And so that's what really caught on and just very quickly became our hero product. But it also opened up the doors to launch on Amazon, to launch in spas and boutiques and, you know, custom focused grocery chains and health and wellness centers and things like that. And so it just completely changed our business. So I really feel like this year, and I think I've said this every year, but this year is kind of start over, right? Because now all of these doors have opened up that didn't exist before. And it's just been so interesting to see. It's almost like a darker chocolate version of a Nutella. I guess that's how I would describe it in a way. It's funny. One of our dietitians made a reel for us and she's like, did you reach for 7 spoons of Nutella on your period last time? Well, you only need 1 spoon of this. Right? And so that's what always plays back in my head when I'm telling people about our product. But it's just, it's become so easy for women because if you're in a hurry, eat it off the spoon and go about your day. And it's good afternoon, little pick-me-up. Because Nishi is like a vitamin and you need to eat it every day to keep your body nourished, it's just an easier way for people to do that.
It's really cool that it's built around pleasure and something really enjoyable.
Yes.
Because as women, we are taught to deny ourselves pleasure and like it has to be painful to be beautiful or helpful. And so this idea of no, you don't have to choose. You can take really good loving care of your whole self at once. Yes. Is exciting, I think.
Exactly. That was the ultimate goal, right? Feel good while you're helping yourself.
Yeah, that's really meaningful. I just think sends a good message to ourselves that we deserve to be well and that we deserve to take care of ourselves and that that gets to be a priority among all our other priorities.
Absolutely.
So for you as a founder, it sounds like you had some business experience. You probably had a nice network of folks who had experience that was valuable and useful that they were willing to connect you to. Probably had a little bit of financial capital, I'd guess, that you could invest in this. And so you started out with lots of great advantages. So how did you think about using and leveraging what you had available to you to counteract what you didn't have, which I'd also love to hear about?
So I had a vast network. So all of my background as a management consultant in the high-tech space, none of it translated over because I was always on the corporate strategy or operations side. And CPG is so much about marketing. I have something I, to this day, feel like don't understand. And so that was actually, I felt like I was starting over. This network of mine, very supportive, very much cheerleading me on. But other than that, they're like, we don't know how to help you. We've never done this either. And so a lot of it was just reaching out and finding a community, whether that was a community of other small businesses who are dealing with the same challenges, just so you had somebody to talk to, or just slowly making that path to finding mentors. But it really felt like this bright-eyed 20-year-old girl who, you know, at the time we had landed in New York City and I was scared. It was kind of the same thing, right? I didn't know what I was doing. And so it took a long time to find that footing. And I started out really slowly with a cottage food license, which in the state of California allows you to sell and ship only within the state of California. And I was like, you know what? This is so different. I don't know what I'm doing. Let me figure this out. So I took a class and they partnered us up. And I met this woman who within 3 days, we had to turn around a pitch. And at the end of the whole session, everybody had to pitch. And she gave the most beautiful pitch. I was like, how did you do this? This is amazing. She's like, well, I'm a web designer. This is what I do. I was like, all right, you're my new best friend. Right? So she helped me build and launch our first website. And honestly, we haven't talked enough about the role of my kids, but I would not be at this stage without my daughters. Like they have that vision and that artistic nature and that just like, they're just good at marketing, which I'm not. And so between this woman that I met and my daughter, they launched this beautiful website. My daughter had taken the photos with her childhood friend. This woman took everything I had to say and put it together so nicely. So that's how we launched. It was a lot of like scrapping and putting things together and child labor with my three girls who are helping pack and helping sticker. And they would do whatever they could to try to get me through. As I've gone along these years, you know, I've met people who are amazing mentors who have connected me with different experts that have helped us along the way. It seems easy from the outside, but definitely not from the inside.
I love that story because so many of us in midlife have accumulated a wealth of resources. They oftentimes don't feel relevant. And yet, I think that's really important to any midlife founder to really consciously sit down and say, what are my resources? And be really honest about the value of those resources and how you can maximize the value of the resources. Because otherwise, if we sit starting from zero, it feels nearly impossible to build up. And I think that's the other thing we can take from your story here is that when we look big picture at what's in front of us, oftentimes it is too daunting to even begin. But when we get really specific about where our gaps are, we can learn how to fill those gaps. And so I heard you doing that as you took that course. And the more specific those become, the more they just become action items instead of obstacles.
Yes. And the more we ask for help, I think as women, as moms, right? A lot of us just, we juggle so much. We don't stop to think somebody's going to help us, or we don't think to even ask for help. And I think that changed so much for me. The other, you were saying, like listening to what other people's stories and whatnot. And I heard a founder say on a podcast once, don't assume something's a no because you haven't heard back. People are just busy. And early on, that would stop the progress, right? Because I would reach out to somebody and they wouldn't respond. I was like, oh, they're not interested. Well, they probably just haven't seen your email, right? Or they haven't gotten your message. And so I think just getting behind that own hurdle we put out for ourselves changed things. But also, maybe it was more for me because the story was personal. It's menstrual health or hormonal health, which you're not supposed to talk about, especially growing up in an Indian household. Don't talk about your period. Go hide in a room. Like, this is dirty. It's bad. You don't talk about it. And so now going out there with this message of my products are to help women's periods and this, and it took me a long time to say that freely. And what changed that actually was the kids and how free they were, which was so amazing to me. I had told my girls one day, I'm like, when we were kids, we were so shy about our period. We would stuff our pad quietly up our sleeve or in our pocket and we'd run to the bathroom and hope nobody heard us, right? And I was like, I hope one day you guys can hold your pad or your tampon, just hold it in your hand and walk down the hallway. And they're like, Mom, we do. It's like, what? What do you mean you do? They're like, nobody cares. We yell across the hallway, do you have a pad? I got my period. Or like, boys are around, we don't care. And that was just, it sounds silly to say, but I was so proud of this generation at that point. Because it's just so important, right? They're sending us on this right direction of let's talk about it. Let's not have this negative stigma. And it was so great to see.
I love that story. Even in these times where it feels like, we're so far behind, there are these beautiful, bright signs that change is happening and that we are doing better by our girls. As I listen to your story too, I don't think this fear and shame is limited only to this theme, right?
Right.
For so many of our midlife entrepreneurs, that becomes part of the challenge. We're afraid to talk about our mission and our message. And then we wonder why no one else is listening.
Right.
And I think one of the big things I take again and again from founders is this charge to be your own best champion and cheerleader. And that the success of your business or your endeavor, whether it's for profit or nonprofit, relies entirely on your willingness to speak up and speak out about your mission. So you touched a little bit on this, but I'd love to hear kind of how you ramp yourself up to send that second email that says, hey, just checking in, or how you ramp yourself up to do outreach to people that you worry might say no to you. because there's always that risk if we're asking a question.
What's the worst thing that can happen is they say no, and that's okay, and you move on, right? And it's funny you ask that because I just saw a friend. She's growing her business. I'm growing my business. And she's like, you seem so different. You don't seem as stressed out anymore. I was like, because I don't care anymore. I'm going to ask. I'm not letting these things hold me back. But also, I think the stress we put on ourselves, whether it's reaching out to somebody, whether it's just our life in general, the ones who feel the stress is us, right? No one else around us. And so I think it's letting a lot of that go. If it's going to take me 3-4 months to get a hold of somebody, that's okay. Let it take its time, because if you're putting pressure, you're not going to move the needle. You're just stressing out about it for no reason, and it's making your own life difficult. And so I think a lot of it was just those different realizations coming together, and just keep trying, and you'll be amazed at who you're able to reach out to or get your products in the hands of. It makes a difference.
We talk a lot in my work about courage capital and how we all understand that we need to raise financial capital, but what we really need in order to underpin financial capital, social capital, any other capital that we rely on is courage capital, the bravery to go and ask these questions, to advocate for ourselves, to collaborate, all the things that you're talking about here. And so to hear that articulated so powerfully in what you're saying there, it's like, yeah, it is scary.
Yeah.
It is uncomfortable. And yet it is absolutely required. So what do you think is your greatest strength or your superpower as a founder?
That's a tough one. So I'll default to what other people have told me.
I love it.
And
you love feedback.
How much I care. I think I've gotten that feedback a lot, is so much of the thoughtfulness around the products and the connections makes a difference. And then the other point of feedback I get often is I'm a super connector. Mm. And I think just, you know, all those relationships you've maintained along your journey, being able to share that with other people, I realized most women don't do that. And it's kind of heartbreaking, right? And early on, I had reached out to some people that are very prominent on social media, who always talk about, like, women have to support women and, you know, this girl power. They are the most vocal, but at the same time seem to be the least supportive. And that was actually very disappointing to see, because I'm not somebody to gatekeep. I'm not somebody to, like, well, some of my closest people that I talk to on a regular basis are, you could say, direct competitors in this space. There is so much room for us to grow. There is no point in holding each other back, right? We all have to better this message together. And so I think it's just put yourself out there, but give back as much as you expect. And I think that's one that's rare to see.
Yeah. It sounds like trust is a big factor too in your success.
I think that
believing that things will work out. And what would you say is your biggest challenge or struggle or weakness as a founder?
100% anything in the world of marketing. That is such a challenge for me. And I knew that from day one. And so I've very early on hired a marketing firm to help with messaging, content, collateral, social media, like you name it. And coming from a very operational, strategic background, I made sure to vet everybody. You know, I talked to resources. They were highly recommended. Nobody fit the bill. So far, I've gone through 4 different firms, and it's been so frustrating. And the other day, I was talking to somebody, and they were like, oh, you know, I'm so excited to talk to you, because I'm probably going to take my jacket off mid-call because I'm struggling with hot flashes. And she's like, and I checked out your social and your website, and it's so nice. Who did that? And I was like, me, right? I've had to do it, because finding the right people to help has been really, really hard. So I guess maybe it's not as much of a weakness for me as it was in the beginning, but it's been a very, very hard skill to learn. That is not where my brain goes at all.
But what a great story for all of us. I mean, A, to remember that everybody has weaknesses and everybody has strengths, and our weaknesses are in no way a defining force. You are learning as you go, and none of us are walking in with all the answers. But you probably do have the most important asset of all, which is passion and willingness to learn. And if we can cultivate those two things within us and sustain those two, passion and willingness to learn, then everything else can be bought or borrowed or learned.
Yeah, 100%.
So what would you say to a midlife woman who is interested in building something based on her own dream or desire, or just simply a wish that it existed in the world, or maybe even just because she wants to build something?
I would say there's two things, right? Own your story, which we've talked about, but also understand what you want out of it and be realistic. We often see everybody's a midnight, you know, overnight success, but that overnight took them 7, 10, 15 years. But we just see that tiny bit of data and we tend to hold on to that. So I think it's be realistic and understand how much you actually have to give to what you're building, and then you'll get there.
So setting a timeline based on the reality of your context.
Whether it's a timeline, whether it's a financial investment, whether it's how much time you have to give, I would say that that early planning stage is more and more important as we reach these different milestones in our lives.
I love that. Yeah. So it's really about creating the strategy based on the resources available.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. That's really smart. And as uplifters, we love to uplift other uplifters. So what's the best way for us to support you and Nishi?
Supporting me and Nishi is going to come by supporting yourself. So try the products, give it a month. You will see a difference. I mean, I've had only 5 people who have ever told me they didn't see a difference. And it's because they had some other medical issue like endometriosis, right? Which is not a hormonal imbalance. So I would say the best thing you can do to support our mission is to help yourself.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Yeah. So if we order, I think you have a special discount for uplifters.
I do. So you can go to nishi.com. That's our website. And the special discount code, which will give you 20% off your next order, is uplifters. So make sure you use that discount code. We're also on Amazon. And make sure you follow us on social as well. It all helps. And leave a review. That is the best way I can say to support a small business is leave a review.
Isn't it bonkers how much that helps? And it's free and it takes 2 minutes. One of our recent guests has this amazing experiential space, and I went not long ago and posted a few photos on Google, and I got a notification yesterday that said like 30,000 people had seen my photos.
That's amazing.
That took me 10 seconds.
Right.
And I get to feel like I really contributed to Karen's amazing work now.
But you have. You absolutely have. And it is so hard to get people to leave a review. So keep doing that.
I absolutely will. It feels so good. And it's like we want to share the things that we love and believe in. You were nominated by Kimberly Lau for our podcast, who listeners met in an earlier episode. Who would you like to nominate, Geeta?
So I would love to nominate my friend, Shruti Garadia, and her brand is Modge. She makes these beautiful, thought out Apple Watch bands and jewelry that I think are perfectly for a woman in her midlife who wants to look good with her jewelry and feel good with Nishi. We're actually doing a joint event this weekend that's Look Good, Feel Good. But I love how much thought and intention she puts into our products, but she also spends so much time working with artisans to give back and make sure that they are leading better lives as well. So her mission is very well aligned.
I love that. And I can't wait to go check that out. I'm like waiting for somebody to make a really cute solution for my readers, because
maybe she'll do that. Ask her.
I'm going to ask her, because I feel like in winter I wear a hat, and so I can't keep them on my head all the time. But yeah. I also don't want the like open hanging glasses that you see everywhere. Claire V, I think, did like a little taco, but I'm like also not going to spend $500 on a piece of leather. So I've got needs. And I'm going to go look at our website. have needs and they are very important. I mean, that really is stuff that impacts our quality of life.
It is. It is.
Time I spend looking for my glasses is time I'm not spending doing meaningful work. It has been so much fun to meet you, Geetha, and I'm so excited to try your beautiful products and to keep watching where you go as a founder and an entrepreneur and to see what you've learned by year 5 or even 10. How exciting that is.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the Uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more Uplifters. And it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa. Whoa, lift you up. Whoa, lift you up.
Beautiful.
I cried.
It's that little thing you did with your voice.
Right, in the pre-chorus, right?
I was like...
Mommy, stop crying. You're disturbing the peace.